Hello and welcome to Think Rant. I'm John Stabler.
And I'm Steve Brett.
This week has been quite interesting. Interesting so much that I've been keeping an eye on the statistics for the podcast. And we seem to have found some kind of like overnight internet fame or something.
It has been quite a phenomenal response to last week's podcast.
Yeah.
Overwhelming, in fact.
It's quite interesting. I mean, we've been seeing a kind of growth week on week of the number of people listening to us. Which is always good, you know. I mean, as long as I'm seeing, you know, the numbers going up, I'm happy just carrying on doing what I'm doing, trying out a few things. But we jumped from something like 150 listeners to the last podcast to, well, we just looked now before we started this, 1,800 listeners.
Which is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And it's not just like 1,800 listeners of this. Obviously, people have listened to last week's, and then they went on and listened to, you know, previous shows, things like that. And, you know, we're looking at well over 3,000 downloads for the whole week. And it's just as well my hosting provider gives me unlimited bandwidth. Otherwise, it might have got quite expensive or something.
Yeah.
So all of you people, okay, that listened to us last week and said this is amazing and listen to this every week, okay, well done. You can feel smug with yourselves. You're part of the first wave. So in like, you know, in a couple of years' time when everyone's like going, oh, you listen to the Think Rant, you go, oh, I was listening to that from the start. You guys, you just joined, you know.
Hopping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, so, you know, well done, you guys. You're the first wave. You're cool.
But to those people who have just started listening last week, and who I hope are listening again this week, welcome, thank you for joining us. Obviously, that was kind of a one-off show for us. If you've listened to any of our other shows, you may have realised that generally we tend to speak about topics in the news, current affairs, politics, particularly British politics. But there are plans to do other such specials.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you say it's a one-off, we don't mean it's like, oh, that's it, just the one. What we mean was it was an experiment, and it was very good. I enjoyed doing it.
I enjoyed doing it as well.
It was good fun. So we're going to do more of that. And obviously, even in this episode now, I'm going to try and take on board the fact that a lot of people like that kind of thing. So it's giving us an air, you know, a direction.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to reassure people, though, that actually we're not just going to be doing the news and...
No.
There is going to be variety, because what I didn't want is for people listening this week, with new listeners, to go, oh, they've gone back to the old format. So I wanted to let them know, no, there is going to be something else along those lines coming up in the near future.
Yeah, and I think it's more going to be a case of, you know, we'll use the original idea was use the news, but then, you know, don't just go through the week's stories. How about, you know, if we get sidetracked and we get a deep discussion, just run with it,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what most people want anyway. So, you know, the fame hasn't got to my head. You know, I haven't had to sign anything this week. I don't know about you.
No, unfortunately not. And also, you know, unfortunately we're not getting paid for it either, which is a shame.
Yeah, but I'm just doing it for, you know, for the love of, you know...
Well, that's exactly why I'm doing it, because I'm not getting paid for it either, but, you know...
You're not hinting. I'm not paying you for it. You know.
No, you feed me, so that's good enough.
Yeah, so, really good result. We're hoping to keep it up. But we are going to do a little bit of news, because some interesting political things have happened.
Yep.
Do you want to go first? Have you got a little political... Did you want to have something to say?
Well, I know we discussed about it before. It's kind of come up in a couple of other little sort of side topics, really, that we've been talking about it. But it's just generally about this, obviously the cuts which the government are making, in particularly the child benefit. I'm surprised at the route in which they're taking over the cuts. Now, I totally agree with them that actually, why should somebody earning, you know, 80 grand a year be able to claim the same child benefit as somebody who earns 16 grand a year? Just doesn't seem right to me at all for that, where you've got somebody who can afford not to have child benefit versus somebody who can't afford to have child benefit. I just think that, yes, it should be means tested, that's absolutely right. Where the government have got it wrong is in this farcical situation where it's only running off one person's income in the household. So, you know, you could have Mr. and Mrs. Joe Bloggs each earning 40 grand a year together, well, 40 each, so 80 grand in total, claiming child benefit, and then you could have Mrs. Smith living next door by herself, earning 41 grand a year, not able to claim anything.
Yeah,
That
I mean,
just smacks of injustice to me.
I don't even know why they would even, you know, to me it's obvious. You do it on combined income.
Absolutely. You know, yes, it should be made fair. I totally understand that, totally get that. But how is that in any way fair? And what amazes me is now having had this pointed out to them, not just by the opposition, but by people, you know, within the liberal side of the government, you know, commentators from, you know, cross party, saying to them, actually, this is crazy, because of the exact scenario I've just mentioned. They haven't just gone, no, actually, you're right. Maybe we do need to reconsider it. That's what I find incredible, is then just saying, no, we're right. This is the way we're doing it. It's going to be fairer. In what way?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, they've done the sums for their scenario and they think that they can deal with it. But they realize that if they did it the other way, they would be paying out too much. That's how I think they're actually banking on it, on catching
Well,
people out.
no, I mean, I disagree that you could say, you could still say the cut-off point is 40 grand, but it's on a combined income.
All right, I see. Well, no, well, mine was just like a kind of, you know, just a fundamental. It's unfair in so much that there are going to be people who are able to basically claim child benefit, even though, you know, because they're in a couple, they're able to claim it and still have a very large income, whereas single people were getting punished,
And
you know.
yeah, and that's my point. You have a 40 grand cut off. You say, okay, we get the 40 grand. We're going to cut it off there, and that's on a combined income. It doesn't matter, you know, what your individual income is. It's on a combined income, and that'd be perfectly fair.
Yeah, I just got a feeling that they probably looked at the statistics on average wages and things like that, and they probably worked out that they can afford what they're planning on doing.
There's no doubt they could afford it, but they could afford it if they did it my way as well, surely.
No, because what I mean is, if all of a sudden, you know, you weren't penalising a certain demographic of these single people, if you weren't, you know, I think, and you captured other people, I think you'd be paying out more child benefit. I think it works out. You'd end up paying more child benefit.
I don't see how it can be, because you're saying the cut-off point is 40 grand, and they're saying the cut-off point is 40 grand. So instead of having Mr. and Mrs. Smith, who's earning 80 grand between them, claiming it, they wouldn't be able to claim it, because they'd be over the 40 grand threshold.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
So I don't see how it would save them any more money. I mean, I could see if they were gonna, if they were talking about moving the threshold up higher.
Yeah, I
I mean,
think they
I could see
probably
that, but
have
if they
to.
kept the threshold at 40 grand, well, if that's what they're saying you can manage on this 40 grand, then that fine, cut that off. That's the threshold.
Yeah. But I'm thinking if they did it for couples, 40 grand would be seen as, you know, quite lame.
Well, you know, I think couples can manage on 40 grand a year, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of couples who would be classed as working class who would earn that just. I think 40 grand between two people isn't as much as everyone thinks.
No, I'd be inclined to not to disagree with that,
So I
but
think if they did do it on a, you know, per couple basis,
yeah,
they'd
but I
have
mean,
to go
it does
up.
have to be a cut-off point somewhere, doesn't it? You know,
Oh yeah, for sure.
so wherever that'll be, and I'm just sticking with what the government have already said is a cut-off point, which is 40 grand. So I'm just sticking to that. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not an economist. I wouldn't look into any deeper than that. I'm sort of looking at it very superficially, admittedly, but like I said, I can't see the fairness. You know, we keep hearing David Cameron talking about a fair society and fairness in society, and I see no fairness in that at all.
No, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. I'm kind of I still don't understand this concept of what they call universal benefits, which is things like this, you know, family allowance.
Yeah.
I mean, technically it's not going to be universal anymore because it's going to be means tested.
Yeah.
But I was, I was in work and somebody said to me, they said, "Ah, oh, it's terrible because, I'm potentially going to lose this family allowance now, which adds up to like £20 for the first child and then 13 for the second or whatever." And I'm not going, okay, so, all right, so you're going to lose, say, 30 or £40, a week. I can't understand how you can complain because you're in the top whatever percentage of
Yeah.
earners. You're complaining, and this is the problem I have with universal benefits, because supposedly everyone's entitled to them, but they're not because they're actually paying people to have children.
Yeah.
So it's not universal.
Well, no, I can't claim it.
No. So I'm thinking it's discriminatory anyway, because it's saying we're going to reward people who have children.
Well, look, I think the whole reason why it was brought in was to, help alleviate child poverty. Which is absolutely the right thing to do. I think yes, this is an important benefit, I think, for people who live on the breadline.
Right,
It's
but I don't.
absolutely vital to them for their children to be provided for in a suitable manner. But that's the issue, isn't it? We're talking about people there on the breadline. We're not talking about somebody who earns £500,000 a year
Yeah, I don't
who
see.
can still go and claim £30 a month a week benefit.
I don't see how giving child benefits to the middle class is going to help child poverty.
I totally agree with you. I absolutely 100% agree with you, John. My concern is, obviously, is that I take your point about child benefit being discriminatory because it's not universal, but I think it is necessary for those who are living in poverty.
Well, I just think people in poverty need help.
Yes.
Simple as, people who aren't in poverty don't need that help.
Exactly.
And so I think the whole thing's
And
flawed.
that's why I totally agree with the government when they say this needs to be means tested.
Yeah.
And we need to stop having it claimed by any man and his dog, or any couple and their child rather.
But
Totally, totally understand that perspective. I just think the way they're managing it is it harks back to when child benefit was introduced. It was introduced and paid solely to the woman because of the amount of abuse going on in the home and how women didn't have any income for themselves, so if they needed to get out from an abusive relationship, they could never afford to do so. So the child benefit was to give them and their child, in those extreme cases, something where they could actually make a difference and get out of the situation which they're in. Now, I'm not saying that type of behaviour doesn't go on now, far from it, it absolutely still does. Excuse me, I don't think it's as much of a problem as it was previously. And I think society has changed. I think there's more opportunities now for women who may find themselves in that situation to be able to get out. There's more charities out there to support them and help them out. So that it's not something I feel which should just be paid to the woman in a relationship, in a relationship with
I
the
think
children.
that times have changed. I don't think it's relevant. I mean, because women are now expected to go out and work because
Yeah,
you just can't afford,
not to, and that's my point. I think the whole idea of we're going to take it off the woman's wage just harks back to those days when that is what it was, one of the reasons it was brought in for. So it's a bit archaic, really, to be honest with you, and that's why I think, and I totally believe 100%, they need to means test based on both wages.
Yeah, and the other thing with benefits, this kind of feedback I've had from people now that there's these austerity measures going into place and there's going to be cuts in benefit, a lot of people, I don't know, their true feelings have actually just decided to come through, because it's become clear that they agree with benefits that potentially they might need. Like, I haven't heard anybody flat out say, unemployed people, we shouldn't give them any money
Yeah.
because, but there's this kind of feeling that this sense of entitlement again that I seem to see a lot of. People seem to think that everybody should get benefits. But I'm thinking, if everyone got benefits, what's the point in taxing?
Yeah.
I'd rather them not tax me, rather than take money off me, take a slice for admin, and then give it back.
Yeah, I mean it's something else, right? I mean, it's tax credits. Why should married people have tax credits? I don't understand that at all.
I completely agree, and and this is one of the Prime Minister's part of his campaign, his election campaign, was he wanted to give money to married people. And I was like, hello, do you not know what discrimination
Yeah,
is?
exactly.
You know, there's people who maybe don't want to get married, but you're saying that they should be married, and in fact, you're actually trying to say, if you know, it's almost like a carrot on a
Yeah,
stick.
absolutely.
I mean, all right, it's not tantamount to forcing people to get married, but why are you discriminating against single people? You know, taking money off single people in a way to give to married people, that is
Absolutely.
ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And I also think, and I just extend that to, you know, why are we rewarding people for having children? We should be saying, and this is what, going back to people's attitudes toward benefits, the idea, you should be saying benefits are for people that would be destitute without them.
Yeah.
Benefits aren't to be handed out to married people, to people with children. You know, in some circumstances, you know, when it comes to things like, you know, should women be entitled to maternity leave? I think, well, the answer is yes. Because, you know, I think children are important to society in that way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't think anyone would disagree with you
Yeah,
there.
but I think this other this is very severe. This let's pay people to have children, and I've said it before, so you know, I won't hark on about it too much.
Let's pay people to have children. Let's pay people to get married. You know, that's. I just think it's wrong.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as a single person, I'm getting penalised.
No, you're getting ta you know, money's been taken off you to be given to cushy married people
Yeah,
who can
exactly.
afford a home because there's two of them.
Yeah,
You can't afford your own
I
place at the
can't afford
moment.
to buy a home, and you know, given where we live, isn't exactly the most, you know, expensive property in the country. I still can't afford to buy a home. So, what's the benefit for me? It's ridiculous, you know. I think benefits need to be there, as you said, for people who test you who need them, but we need to move beyond this whole idea of, you know, Britain needs to have married couples and families, and it's all about them for us to be, you know, a great God-fearing nation again.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
So your attitude is very, it's just yours as a liberal attitude against this current conservative attitude of how marriage is meant to be important.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've mentioned as well where we've been talking about, you know, middle class and lower class, upper class, what have you, the whole sort of class system. There's been another government announcement this week, which just seems to me to be yet again creating a distinction in the class system, and that's in this decision over tuition fees for universities.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard about this, I was, you know, as a liberal, I was quite livid.
I mean, I think it's absolutely disgraceful. One of the reasons why I supported the Liberals at the last election was purely over this issue, that they made a pledge that they would scrap tuition fees, and they were man enough to stand up and say, because of the current climate, they couldn't do it initially, but it was always going to be on the cards. And now they're coming out and saying, not only are they not going to scrap tuition fees, they're going to take the cap off tuition fees and let the university charge whatever they want for universities. That just seems ridiculous. It doesn't work in America. Everyone holds America up as this paragon of great free market economy universities where, you know, you pay for what you want and you get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah, and where child poverty is at record
Well,
high.
yeah, great, okay, your rich billionaires can afford to go to your Ivy League universities, but actually, your people who are coming from, you know, middle to lower class backgrounds actually can't afford to go to the universities, are going to cheap, underfunded universities where their quality of education, frankly, is crap.
Yeah, but if the, you know, if the majority of people are going to underfunded crap universities, the majority of your population is undereducated.
Absolutely, and that's exactly the same as what will happen here, because we know straight away the Russell Group of universities are going to be charging top dollar.
12 grand or whatever it was, because
Well,
there is still a cap on it, I
to
believe.
start, no, there's no cap. It's unlimited.
I thought there was like a 12 grand
No,
cap.
they're getting rid of the cap completely. So,
So.
you know, you're going to have a class system created through the education system.
Yeah, I mean, all right, it's maybe by the by. I mean, there was already a kind of class system in place anyway,
I think, you
in
know,
Oxford,
certainly
Cambridge.
since the 50s, yeah, Oxbridge, I agree with you, but you know, we look since the 50s how the class system in the UK has broken down, you know, in all areas of society. I think there's a very real risk by creating this sort of two, three-tiered university medium, where we're encouraging more and more people to go to university, actually, we're going to be creating those barriers in society again.
Yeah, it's almost like a kind of unintentional recreating
Absolutely, and
of it, yeah.
that's, I think, is the very real danger of it, because you're going to have the upper classes go into the more exclusive universities, and they are then going to go out and get the more exclusive jobs. You're going to have the middle lower classes go into the second and third tier universities, getting your, average jobs, average shows. The gap between rich and poor is going to get wider. The gap in the classes is going to get wider, and then you're going to have the people in the very lower bottom poverty class not able to afford to go to university at all.
Yeah, and then you just have this unending loop of, poor people being uneducated.
Absolutely, and we've worked so hard as a nation to eradicate that we just seem to be putting this straight back in again. I think it's absolutely short-sighted. I think it's absolutely disgraceful.
I mean, we both agreed that telling everybody they should go to university was wrong. We agree. We both
Absolutely,
agree on that. But at the
absolutely.
same time, I think. And they all talk about how, well, we're going to make measures so that it's easier to pay the loans off. They don't seem to understand. People are fearful of being in debt already, and now they're just going to go and increase it even more. I mean, there's students going out, if what was it? It's like nearly £4,000 a year, isn't it? Student loan. So say you get the maximum student loan, that's 12 grand minimum.
Just to cover your tuition fees, though.
So, I think, and that, if that's going to go up, how anybody with a brain is going to say, "Whoa, I'm going to come out of this with this amount of debt at least." It's going to put people off, and if they don't realise that, then they're
And the
not.
thing is, John, as well, is because they're creating this level of universities where the people going to the exclusive universities are going to get the exclusive jobs, and the people who don't are going to get the average jobs, then you're going to get a situation which I find myself in now. I'm a graduate, I've got a degree, but I'm not earning, and I'm earning just about enough to start paying off my student loan, but I'm not earning enough to be comfortable off that. Now, if I've got, 20, 30 grand worth of debt behind me, that's a really frightening prospect, to be leaving university without carrying that much debt and starting off my new life. It's just incredible that they can go along with that, to be honest with you. And I'm so disappointed in the Liberals for supporting it.
Yeah, and this—I mean, there's been a lot of—oh, I mean, there's been a lot of crying into people's cereal over what the Lib Dems have basically not only just gone back on what they said they would do, and you said, all right, you thought that they manned up and said, look, we can't afford it, but to actually go the other way. Now I'm kind of in the middle because I mean, there's been demonstrations in Sheffield at Nick Clegg's home and all this because a lot of they wanted to buy the student vote. And a lot of people were feared the Lib Dems, but before the results came in and they seemed to do no better than they had done previously, there was this fear that the Lib Dems actually might pull off some kind of miracle or whatever, as you might call it, in that the student vote might be enough, considering there was so much voter apathy around the country, to actually do something. So all these students were motivated. I knew a lot of people who were maybe at one point, a Labour supporter, maybe a bit disillusioned. All right, let's go for broke, let's go for, anyone except the Conservatives.
Absolutely.
So they gave them their vote, and what happened? They're going to feel hard done by now because they've gone the other way. Now, I look at that as I think it's a personal decision. I think either you can look at the Lib Dems and say, they're in the government, they're obviously aware of how bad this country is. For them to basically, it's almost like committing suicide, isn't it, really? Political
Oh yeah,
suicide.
absolutely.
For
I
them to
totally
do
agree with you.
that.
But there's been talk, hasn't there, about graduate tax and things like this. Why has that been shelved? Why have these things been overlooked?
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind, but I was watching Newsnight the other night when they were talking about this, and they had, like the head of the student union and the head of universities. And they seem very keen on the graduate tax because it meant that there was no upfront fees. It meant everyone could go to university and you paid it back afterwards.
And this is the point. Students appreciate that. The student unions appreciates that. That actually, gone are the days where student lifestyle was, a grant and living life off the taxpayer, you know? That's been long gone, and the student union absolutely appreciates that, and they understand the need for people to pay for their education. I understand the need for people to pay for their education, but, you know, you're not widening access. You're restricting access. You're making it unaffordable for the poorest people in society, and you're also making the best education unaffordable for the majority of people in society.
Yeah. But I'm just wary that maybe we're stating the obvious. Why would they not? Why would the government not do it? Am I missing something here? Why would they not embrace the graduate tax?
Well, because I think this is purely being driven by the Tories, as opposed to the liberal side of the government. You know, Tories don't like taxation. They want to make their own nests more comfortable, because let's face it, the majority of people who are going to be going to the top universities are going to be Conservative voters, because they're the people who are affluent enough to be able to support themselves in university if they go into the top universities. So for them, it's not a real issue, is it? But what they are doing is stopping the peasants going to university. Which I think is very much part of the agenda.
Yeah, but you know, for the Lib Dems to go with it, you know, I've seen it on telly, and I'm thinking this is quite shocking. Why would they do it? They, you know, they must know that this is unavoidable. They must be, you know, this, maybe this is a sign of how bad, you know, the country really is. If the Lib Dems are turning around saying we have to do something,
or is it part of a sign of actually, well, the Lib Dems want to make sure they can stay in power with the current government, and therefore have to be seen to be supporting the current government.
But, you know, as part of the coalition deal, they did have... They were allowed to abstain. To be honest, it would have been better if they were allowed to vote against it in a free vote.
Of course.
But I don't know if necessarily this... Do you think the coalition's been one way? A lot of people have been saying it's been one way.
I think pretty much it's been one way. I do think that the Liberal Party have had... And I said it before, almost a bit of a levelling effect on the...
Tempering
of the Tory party. They've not been quite as, you know, right-wing as they could have been, perhaps. But I don't really see the Tories making many concessions to liberal ideology, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, you mentioned about identity cards, but the Tories are always going to get rid of them anyway.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird that, you know, before, when I was checking out the policies before the election, the Tories were, it appeared, more liberal in so much in terms of civil liberties than Labour. You know, so a lot of people would have looked at them saying, well, they're going to get rid of ID cards anyway. They've been campaigning against, you know, DNA databases and things. May as well just go with them. They've got more chance of getting in. You know, so they had that ticket, and to be fair, they've kept those promises. So it's not like...
No, look, generally speaking, I've got no real axe to grind with the government. I'll be honest with you, yeah? I haven't got... I think they're doing the best they can out of a bad situation. I do believe that. I don't believe they're trying to do it. But this for me, smacks of old-style conservatism.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be vested interest. You know, they're still going to have certain... attributes we're not going to be happy with.
I can see Alan Bastard walking the corridors of power yet again, you know?
But it looks like maybe the Lib Dems may be getting something that, you know, was quite unexpected, because it's now looking like Trident is actually completely unaffordable. From some of the reports now, I mean, there may actually be a major U-turn. And I mean that in the best possible way. Not a terrible U-turn. You shouldn't be changing your mind. But as in, they've realised that they can't afford it. Like the Lib Dems said at the beginning of the election, we can't afford it.
Well, you can only hope, can't you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would, you know, maybe there would be a good concession there for the Tories to actually have a bit of infighting, saying, actually, you know, maybe we should get rid of this stuff.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Have the Lib Dems help them get something through that their own party doesn't necessarily agree on.
Yeah, for sure. But look, I mean, there was a programme, I think it was Newsnight again the other week, where you've got the real hardcore Tories who still think that the Liberals are going to backstab them and betray them. And talking about, you know, I don't trust a Liberal, I'd rather have a Labour person in there, because Liberals always, you know, break their promises and betray. These were, you know, grassroots Tories making these points. It was on the week of the Tory conference. They were going around the grassroots constituencies saying it's a terrible thing that they're going to be in sleeping with the enemy then, in the form of the Liberals.
But I mean, surely Conservatives have, it might not be a lot, but it's a bit more in common with the Liberals. I mean, the Liberals, for me, almost, well, especially after now they've changed their mind on a few things, they've taken a very central position. You know, they're willing to do what's good for the economy, even though it means putting people out of jobs. That for me is quite centrist, but at the same time, obviously, they're going to be, you know, quite liberal with. I'm sure there's certain things that they would never concede on. Like, you know, tomorrow, let's just imagine Crazy Town. I don't think the Tories would do it, but they want to enact some legislation against some minority.
Yeah, but John, we never thought they would concede on tuition fees.
Oh no, I thought it was completely conceivable that they would,
No,
especially.
I disagree. I think it was inconceivable that they would take the stance they have. Their election, they were clear on their election promise they were going to scrap tuition fees. Absolutely clear. And they stood up and they said, we can't do it at the moment because we can't afford it, but we are going to scrap tuition fees. They've not left themselves any room to do that now.
No, and I can understand why you know you're incredulous. It's just, it's quite it is quite unbelievable, especially when on Newsnight and other things, you know, they're parading around photos of everybody, you know, people like Nick Clegg, other Lib Dem ministers, holding up signs, signing it, saying I'm going to scrap tuition fees.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the evidence is right there, and the Paxman had a field day with it.
Oh, of course
Oh
he did.
yeah, look at what's this picture here? Is that you signing something saying you're going to? Why have you now changed your mind? And I think it's just worrying because to me it points to a very severe crisis financially for this country. If they've seen the bottom line and it's freaked them so much that they're willing to
But see,
basically commit
I just don't
suicide.
think that's what it is. I really don't. I think they are just jumping into bed with the Tories.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, you've been around longer than me, you know, maybe the cynicism's a bit deeper,
Thanks.
you know. Yeah, sure. Hey, maybe you're right. But you know, I'm really hoping that it's a case of we're, well, no, I don't want us to be in the red. Maybe I would prefer that they just love power like every other politician. But you know, it
You know,
does
look,
worry me.
I agree. I've genuine concern over the finances of the country because, you know, I'm not a particularly affluent person, so it does bother me that, you know, you may see inflation, things going up, you know, cost of living rising, wages not moving. That does bother me, you know, the signs of recession.
I mean, we haven't seen any violence or demonstrations or anything crazy on
Well,
the
that's not like we're
streets
living in
like we've
Greece, is
seen,
it? No.
like Greece or France this week. What they,
Yeah.
what were they? That was pension, public pensions, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, and they're considerably already better off than what we are.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the government's just trying to, you know.
You know, I understand the need of the government to make cuts. I understand that. I am concerned that maybe they are cutting too deeply too quickly. I think that is a very real risk. But they are absolutely right that the concessions need to be made. And, you know, I do support them on a lot of things, but fundamentally, I can't support them on tuition fees because, as we said before, whilst I don't believe everyone should go to university, I believe that everyone should have the opportunity to go to university. And not just any university, but the university of their choice, provided they meet the academic criteria.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that sentiment. I'm just thinking, you know, is it actually that bad that, you know, the axe has got to fall somewhere, okay? And depending on how severe, you know, our problems are, the axe is going to fall, you know, more severely. And if it's falling so severe that they're making it, you know, let's just pretend, okay, that it's not, there's no ulterior motive here. It is literally they're just trying to balance the books. If it's got so bad that they're willing to, I mean, they cut the science budget by something ridiculous, like 80%, and for the axe to fall also on higher education, the future of this country, I think, you know, I think it's worrying, you know. Maybe I should just be a bit more cynical like you and just think it's, you know. But you've also got the Quango bonfire going on as well now.
Yeah, the bonfire of the Quangos.
It was
I
quite.
did have a quick look at a list of Quangos today, which were come, which were staying, which were going, and I can't remember all of them off the top of my head, to be honest with you. And some of them I did think, well, fair enough, because you know, what do they actually do? But And you know, there's always room to stop wastage and have, retrain. I mean, the only thing which concerns me is all the people who are going to lose their jobs through the quangos, which, okay, may have been a bit of a gravy train in the past, but they're losing their jobs now through the quangos. What are they going to do? Where are the jobs for them to move into?
Yeah, well, they reckon it's another 10,000 at least, just like the Ministry of Justice shared 10 has had to shed 10,000, so there's another 10,000 going. Now, with the quangos, it was quite interesting because the article I read was on the BBC and it was about how, the history of quangos and how there's this like cycle of quangos. What happens is, you get this bloat, you get people moaning about how money's been wasted, the usual let's cut bureaucracy. You get a government coming in on a let's save money ticket. It doesn't necessarily even have to be a, an austerity measure. It can just be, look at this wasted money. They get into power, they have the bonfire, and then the longer they're in power, the more likely they are to start up their own quangos because they don't want to be responsible for things, and they like to delegate and defer this responsibility. And it's happened before. They said, with Gordon Brown when he was Shadow Chancellor, was talking about how the Conservatives had invented so many quangos and
Well,
how
yeah,
Labour were going to get
absolutely,
rid
of
of them.
course they did. I can understand, the need of have the quangos. So I think some of them do some good work. I mean, I think the Film Council, for example, I think did some sterling work, and I think it's a real shame that is no longer being funded, because I think, that does actually bring money into the UK economy as well through worldwide marketing.
Some of them I was glad to see the back of, things like the fertility and embryology, which basically they just sat around judging who should be entitled to IVF or other things. I'm thinking, well, that decision can be just taken as a policy at policy level by ministers. That doesn't need You don't need to have some body do that, especially if, as long as you give people a mechanism to appeal or whatever, then it's not a problem. But a lot of them I was glad to see the back of, to be honest.
I agree. I say, there are some places where money is just being wasted in these things.
But some people.
I just, like, you've got all these Ofcom, Postcom, Ofwat, and all this, Yes, there needs to be regulation in the market, but isn't that, shouldn't that be what the Ombudsman
Well, yeah, like
is
they're
looking
rolling in
into?
the competition with the, the trades and all that. So, maybe, there is maybe a, I don't think it's money saving. I think this was highlighted. They've changed their tune from this is going to save us money to we need more transparency and we need more people to be, responsible.
But I think it is a money saving op it's obviously a money saving exercise.
I think making these people redundant is going to cost money. I think the initial,
In the short term, in the
yeah, I
long
think the
term, it's going to
short
save
term
them
is going to
money.
cost money. How much money is it going to save in the long term? Nobody's been able to give an answer to that, which I think is telling in itself. That people are just, and that's where a lot of people, when they say that these cuts are overly severe, because people are just making them without actually, trying to calculate the cost. That is, that's desperation rather than anything.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, now, I'm just looking at the list now as we're speaking. You've got Visit Britain as a quango. Brilliant, yes, we need to have something to encourage tourism. Visit England is still being retained, though. Now, I'm sure it's probably the same for the Welsh Tourist Board as well, and the Scottish Tourist Board have probably been retained as well. They're not specifically mentioned on this list. But surely, Visit Britain should be able to manage that, as opposed to having all these different
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, some of them, somebody made a good defense of them. They said, some of these groups are actually, experts and scientists and people who advise the government. They're keeping, the joke on Twitter today was they were keeping the drug
The drug run
advisory
just to
board
ignore him
just
again.
so they can ignore them. Yeah, so I thought that was almost. I was thinking maybe they should just scrap them if they're not going to listen to them. I could understand. I disagree with the idea, but from a money saving point of view, they may as well. Austerity sucks.
It does suck. I do understand the necessity of it. I just.
But people have said to me, they said, "Oh, you're going to lose out. You're losing out now on this, because you're having a child soon. You're not going to get this money that they give you when your child's born to put in a trust fund."
Child trust fund, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, "Well, I thought it was a complete and utter joke to start with, to be honest. I mean, obviously, I'd take it, in so much that for me it'd be like a tax rebate.
Yeah.
But I still thought it was shocking that the government was, paying people to have kids again."
The thing is, that I can understand. I understand exactly where you're coming from, but I kind of like that.
Hang on, we've discussed this, but we've done this in a previous
Have
interview.
we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say I do kind of like it from the point of view that an underprivileged family can really benefit from that. But that goes back to what we're talking about, but means testing again.
Yeah, I just think, and I just think people who need money, we should help them. People that don't, let's stop attaching it to things like children or to marriage. Let's just help the poor people, and then everybody else can feel
Yeah,
good.
I agree.
I'm gonna do a story now.
Cool, that took up quite a bit of time, didn't it?
It did. I was trying to avoid too much of a political. After last week, I mean, we really it was just a political episode, wasn't it? And we've
Yeah.
kind of done one again, haven't we? Chilean miners. What do you think? Have you been watching it on telly? Have you
I
been?
have. I tried to stay up the other night to actually watch them get lifted out of the ground. Unfortunately, it was on too late by the time they actually managed to get the people out. But I mean, this for me is an absolutely fantastic story. I think there's two sides to this. The side which is fantastic is I just think it goes to show the strength of human spirit and overcoming adversity. I think this is a real good story to show the power of humanity then. To be honest with you, you've got these guys stuck down in a mine for, what was it, 69 days,
Yeah.
and they've still managed to come up and come out all relatively healthily. Despair could have so easily set into them being stuck down there for that length of time, away from their families, away from their friends, away from the comforts, little comforts they have in their lives, to come out and then come out as they did. I think it's absolutely marvelous. I think that the engineering feats as well to actually get them out there, I think, is a true testimony to the ingenuity of humanity. I think it's a real feel good story. It's kind of tainted a bit for me by the reaction of the people who are ultimately culpable for it. That is the people who own the mine and the Chilean government, who haven't got a robust enough safety and health policy to protect their workers, because at the end of the day, this mine collapsed because of health and safety failings,
Yeah.
which is let down by the government and let down by the people who own the mine. Now, they've been celebrating the successful extraction of the miners, and quite rightly so, they should as well. But they're celebrating almost from the point of view of, look how great we are that we managed to get them out. Well,
Yeah.
no, look how bad you are. They were actually in that situation in the first place. So that's kind of a concern for me, is that that the message of the fact that actually they were in that situation due to bad behaviours has kind of been lost in the genuine good news of these guys getting out safely.
I think it's been an excellent story, and I like it. It's not always good news either, unfortunately. To see humanity kind of brought together, or at least humanity that owns a telly and can watch it, to be brought together to in a kind of triumph.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been hearing about these Chilean miners, trapped underground, and they've been there for so long. That, we first heard about it was breaking news, people trapped underground. But they've been there so long, it almost became like Big Brother or something,
Yeah, absolutely.
in a way.
Yeah.
And that they even started doing, jokes about them on Mock the Week and stuff. They were down there, but I mean, people knew they were okay, they were getting food and everything. But, they became
Well,
part.
yeah, I mean, kind of summed up from a comment from a guy in work this today, in fact. Well, he goes, well, it wasn't that bad for him, was it?
But,
you know, because of the fact that, okay, they were fed, they were, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't feel very happy being cut off. You know, but before you even start talking about the psychological, you know, issues of being, you know,
Well,
locked in
you've
with 32
basically
guys.
incarcerated, haven't you? It's like
Yeah.
being in prison.
Not all people are built for prison, let's be honest.
No.
So, it's been interesting. It was a good result. I think you're right. There has been a lot of kind of deflection of blame. A lot of people have been kind of saying, well, you know, this is a great thing that these men have, you know, been saved and all that. And it's been, yeah, I think there has been almost an effort to hide behind
For want of a better word, to bury it.
to bury it. Yeah. Yeah.
Pardon the pun.
So, no, I agree with you on that one. It was a good thing in the end, but as I was saying, I've seen things, similar things happen which didn't end in such a good ending. September the 11th being an example. At first, absolutely horrific, but it seemed it united an entire country. You know, the whole of America, it found an identity. I think it found the wrong identity,
Yeah.
but it found an identity nonetheless. So, yeah, I don't think I was as moved by it as a lot of people, but I think that was because of the initial coverage. It was like, well, you know, there's these guys and they're trapped, and it's going to take a long time to get them up. You know, that's kind of how I saw it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can understand it was quite emotional for them. You know, a lot of them came up and, you know, but for me,
Except for the poor guy who's he had the guy who's having an affair
oh
when he was
no.
down. There's one guy who probably really didn't want to come back out. He'd been having an affair, and the first his wife or his girlfriend found out about it was when they both turned up at the camp clutching huge pictures of him.
Oh, what? You
Was
see, he's going to be the one they make the film about. He's going to get the book deal for sure.
Yeah, basically he'd been having an affair, nobody knew about it, and yeah, both the partners turned up, big photos of him, my poor boy, you know, trapped underground.
Oh, he must have a twin.
Yeah, hang on. No, he hasn't got a brother.
Why would you call both your sons Pablo?
Yeah, exactly. So I think from what I can understand from the story I read this afternoon, the mistress is standing by him, the wife has left him, in so much as she hasn't visited him in hospital yet and stuff, so
Oh, right, okay. So,
not such a happy ending for him, but
well, as I said,
you know, maybe he deserved it to some extent.
he'll get the book deal. He'll be all
It's
right.
karma.
Well, they're gonna have to. Someone's gonna make a film of it.
Absolutely, undoubtedly.
So he'll be the good looking guy.
Yeah.
You know, he'll be like, maybe they can get Gavin Henson to play him or something, because he's, you know, he's got enough fake tan on to look Chilean. So
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting to see, you
they'll
know.
probably finish it with the wife and, you know, they're both gonna be hot, aren't they? The wife is gonna be hot
Yeah.
and the mistress is gonna
Well,
be
wife
hot.
will be Angelina Jolie, and
Yeah.
the mistress will be
And the
some
thing is, it'll be
upcoming
that usual
starlet.
thing, because Hollywood can't do ugly women. The wife will be so hot, everybody will be just saying, well, if your wife's that hot, why do you need a mistress like that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we're bordering on pop culture here.
Let's move on then.
Okay, have you got something?
I haven't actually. I think we've pretty much covered off what I wanted to talk about already today.
Well, I wanted to do something that I posted on Facebook, which I think is actually probably the big, for me, the biggest story of the week.
Okay.
And that is the news that Chris Hitchens is going to be debating
Ah, yes, with Tony the Tory.
Tony Blair. Now, I think this is the most fascinating thing. I described it on Twitter as intellectual porn
Yep.
because,
It's almost worth flying to Canada for.
yeah, I'd love to. I mean, hopefully they're going to televise it, or it's going to be at least on the internet somewhere. But I think I've got to watch that. I've got to watch Tony Blair flail around like a muppet.
Well, yeah, the thing is, it's not quite a direct, I believe you don't debate, is it? It's
No, it's
actually
specific.
it's a specific debate around whether,
The Catholic Church is a force for
well,
good.
religion, I believe, is the
Ah, right,
topic.
okay,
I don't think
religion.
it's just
Well,
the
he's
Catholic
opened it up.
Church.
Because Chris Hitchens already did it with Stephen Fry,
Fry
isn't
and Widdecombe and the bishop,
Yeah,
whose
yeah.
name
Did
escapes me.
you watch that
I
after?
haven't seen, I've just heard a lot about it.
Oh, you've got to watch it. It's brilliant. But I think it's going to be a similar story, to be
I think it'll
honest.
be a similar story, but they're looking at religion as a whole. I think probably Tony Blair could argue his corner better than Widdecombe and
Well, I
the
hope
bishop.
so, because it was an absolute cra it was car crash TV watching Anne Widdecombe. I mean,
Well, yeah,
well, it is
goes without
anyway.
saying, doesn't it?
Yeah, just here on telly it's car crash TV. You haven't been watching Come Dancing then, or whatever that.
No, I haven't, unfortunately. I say unfortunately because I understand there's a lot of hot women in it this year.
Yeah, there is. What are you on about? All the female dancers are hot, aren't they?
They are, but even the totty, dancing away, Miss Widdecombe aside.
Yeah, she does look like the clown out of Playdays. Very bottom heavy, if you know what I mean. So yeah, so I just think that's going to be awesome. I can't. So we got to wait till November for that. I think we're gonna have to get the popcorn in or something, and we can. It'll be the first time that we'll be rooting for the same person, perhaps in a debate.
Well, I guess I don't like Tony Blair because he's smug and smarmy and has lied to us for so long.
Do you forgive him?
Well, yeah, I suppose I'd have to, but it doesn't change the fact that he's still smug and smarmy, and he hasn't asked for forgiveness because he doesn't believe he's done anything wrong. So that's an interesting one. Probably fits quite well into the Catholic Church then. But I would disagree with Christopher Hitchens' point of view. I don't think religion is a bad thing in the world.
Well, maybe we should have started off with this story, because we could have just done that for an
Well, we can
hour.
do that as a special, can't we? Because I think that is quite a
Right, I
good one to do.
think
We
maybe.
could kind of match it up with the heavyweights getting in there to discuss it, and then there's the super heavyweights in us getting in there to discuss it.
Okay, I think that sounds freaking awesome. I think we can do it. I think I'll just swat up by reading Christopher Hitchens'
God is not
book,
great, yeah.
God Is Not Great. I'll just read that, and then I'll be awesome. As long as I can remember it all. I'll write down some bullet points or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'd be awesome. So, who would you think would be the great defender of faith for you? Who would you look to?
Oh, good grief, I've got no idea. I would just come away from my own point of view, which is, I wouldn't look to sort of try and mimic somebody else's argument or anything on it. I just genuinely believe that, religion is not necessarily, well, I think religion is a force for good in the world, or rather, and this is where it's a grey area for me, is it's not religion, it's faith is a force for good, I think. We'll save it for
Oh yeah,
for the
definitely.
main
'Cause
debate,
yeah,
but
'cause
yeah, I think we can have an interesting one on that. So yeah, that's one to look forward to, I think.
I think yeah, we need to do that. In the meantime, before we do that, I think we're also going to have another discussion similar to what we did before.
Yeah.
I'd like to bring Hazel back in on it, simply because she was good fun. I'm going to throw this out to the website, and I'm going to plug it this week. Seems as our best, most downloaded episode, we didn't plug the website on.
No, we didn't, did we?
So yeah, so I'm going to open this up to people. Steve and I, we're going to do another thing similar to what we did with the trolley problem. We're going to do a bit of philosophy.
Yep.
We're big on morality, so I'll try and keep it along those lines as
Okay.
well. Free will is coming at Christmas time anyway, so it's not going to be that. That's
Okay.
I'm saving that one. So I'm open to suggestions. Anybody wants to come on the website, come and leave us a comment. And should we'll do it democratically? Do we want to say we want to do that? Because what if, like, the bulk of people come up with something stupid? No, we don't want to do it democratically.
No, but people just suggest what they want. We'll take the best suggestion, or what we feel is the best suggestion, and work on it from there. We're not a democracy.
No, we're more of a kind of totalitarian kind of.
Exactly,
But I'll
But
be on the.
so website or Twitter. So the website is stabler.tv.
Very easy. It's Stabler.
.tv. It's
Yeah.
simple. And on Twitter, we're at thinkrant. No slash, just one word, thinkrant. So leave us comments there. Leave us comments on the website. We really are interested in your opinions. We want to know what you think. We want to know what you think of the show. But we also want you to come up with some great suggestions for us to discuss and talk about in the future.
Yeah, and the great thing is, The more feedback we get, if we get a lot of feedback, we're pretty dedicated. We could do it next week, the week after. We could do it quite soon.
Yep.
We're not promising you something for like, months down the line. Just get it to us and we'll do it.
Yeah, I know you guys who are downloading this from iTunes, please leave some comments on iTunes as well. It'd be great to see some feedback there as well. We've had one piece of feedback in all the time we've been doing it so far,
And it was the first episode
and
as
it was the
well.
first episode, so it's quite a while ago now. So please leave us some feedback. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Tell us if you think we're going in the right direction. Tell us what you want to hear more of.
Even if you don't like us, just tell us, because then at least we know we're going wrong.
Absolutely.
So, this week's been great. Thank you very much for listening. And make sure you get on the website, tell us what you think.
That's stabler.tv
Or on Twitter.
at ThinkRant.
Excellent. So, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.